I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the fact that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States. Trump wins in what is being called a stunning upset. The establishment powers were all predicting that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. The pollsters were predicting that, well, Hillary's ahead. People were saying, we were listening to the experts leading up to election night, telling us that, well, Trump has no path to win. He's not going to be able to get the Electoral College votes, etc. But it became apparent within the first few hours after the results were coming in that it was, in fact, Hillary that had no path to win. Trump's path was laid out pretty quickly. And then we were watching, and it was just a matter of, okay, is Michigan going to come in? Will Pennsylvania come in? If he gets either of those states, then he's the next president. And it ended up being Pennsylvania that came in first. From at least at the point that we're doing this program now, Michigan, the final tally on Michigan has not come in. But about 3 a.m., I think it was, they made the announcement or the acknowledgement that Trump had, in fact, won the election and was the next president of the United States. Even before it got to that point, the New York Times began predicting a win for Hillary. Then it shifted over to Trump. And by about 11, 12 o'clock last night, by about midnight, they called it for Trump at about 95%. So it's being called a stunning upset. You look at the headlines from some of these other news organizations. Some of the international news is very interesting. The Telegraph over in the UK says, it is time to bind the wounds of division. Donald Trump pledges to be president for all Americans after sweeping to shock U.S. election victory. Then it says, from buffoon to commander-in-chief, the full story of how Donald Trump became the 45th U.S. President. Quote, if you're tweeting in liberal outrage about Donald Trump and his bigoted supporters, you actually helped him win. This is all, these are all different stories that they've got on the UK Telegraph. But they're showing this sense of shock, just shock and awe, and saying, you know, America, what have you done? What have you done? Another headline here, Hillary Clinton, quote, Hillary Clinton was a catastrophic candidate and the Democrats have only got themselves to blame. Now, that's something that they've been talking about and that we've been considering over here. What the aftermath? Who's going to be blamed by the Democrats? I think there's no question Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks, that whole thing, they're going to be looking at that and they're going to recognize that that had much to do with the unfavorable view of Hillary that has been had by many people across the country. There's no question about it. That, and I think also the FBI and FBI Director Comey and that whole situation there, even though he chose not to pursue charges against Hillary Clinton and so on, the fact that all of that was in play. They've had some speculation now that people are going to be, you know, the Democrats are going to be blaming Comey for entangling Hillary in all of this controversy and that this may have brought her her support down, which undoubtedly it would have for some, because some people are thinking, wait a second, if she gets elected, we're going to have just one scandal after another after another. That's what we'll be dealing with. How is she ever going to be able to govern or solve the problems of America if she's constantly under investigation for something that she did years ago? So those, I think, were legitimate concerns.
legitimate concerns.
Now, what's interesting, they're saying that Trump won the Electoral College, but that Hillary won the popular vote. Now, of course, she won by like a 0.01 percentage point or 1 percentage point or something like that. But supposedly she has won the popular vote, which I still don't quite understand, because Hillary wasn't really able to get that many people to come out and support her, at least in public. That's the way it seemed. And meanwhile, Trump just had these massive crowds and rallies and things like this, and a lot of energy behind his campaign. But that's what they're reporting right now, that Hillary won the popular vote, but she didn't win it by much. She didn't win it by much at all. It was nearly a virtual tie in terms of the numbers of voters on both sides. And I think the election results at this point, anyway, I feel better about the election results than I did, let's say, a week ago, when we had all the warnings about election rigging and this kind of thing, and how they can rig computers and go in and tamper with the with some kind of computer software to get the computer to switch the vote in favor of one candidate or the other. That this kind of software is out there. There's all kinds of stories about this that people have been writing about. But I think the good thing has been that people have been writing about it in a very open manner. It's gotten more and more into the mainstream. And then Trump himself was talking about it, that it's a rigged system. We've got to be on the alert for election rigging and this kind of thing. So people were really on the lookout. I know here in Tennessee, they developed a system that I think is the best I've ever seen. They changed it from the last election, because when I went to vote, when you vote, they give you this long card that you have that has a number on it, and they get you set up on the computerized machine, and then you make your selections, and then you get to the last page, and you review all of your selections on the screen. Then you hit print. And what happens is that card that they gave you, they insert it for you when you first start, and then when you finish, you hit print, and that card prints out, and you actually have a hard copy of all the choices that you made when you voted. And then you take that hard copy across the room to another machine, and it feeds into that machine that has written on the piece of paper all the choices that you made. And then that goes into a machine where they acknowledge it and they drop it into a box. So there's the computerized acknowledgement of your vote, but then there's also a printed hard copy of the choices that you made. So that if there's any question in the aftermath, they could always go and get the hard copies and count them by hand. You see what I'm saying? So even if somebody were to rig the computer and get the computer to change the numbers somehow, if there was any question about it, you could go in and you could literally count them manually by hand and find out what happened and who people really voted for. And I thought that was really a very simple and brilliant system, because it provides checks and balances so that a proper vote can be accounted for. So I thought Tennessee did a great job. Here in the state of Tennessee, I thought they did a great job with how they set up the election and had the machines in place. But Tennessee, of course, came in for Trump. We kind of all knew that was going to happen, but there were a number of states that were surprises. Wisconsin was a surprise. Pennsylvania, we didn't know what, that was very, very close in Pennsylvania. And then, of course, once he got Ohio, once he took Ohio, then you saw in the media, they really thought, okay, this, because historically Ohio for decades now has been the state that determines who the next president is going to be. If they win in Ohio, then they're probably going to win the White House. That's, for whatever reason, that's how it's happened. And in fact, there's an article on this you can find. Well, there's an article called "Ohio, When It Comes to Choosing Presidents, You're It, No Doubt About It." And they have a lot of information about Ohio going back to 1896 and a report that was written that, quote, showed that there are only two times in the 30 presidential elections since 1896, when Ohio failed to go with the winner. So, out of 30 presidential elections, the last 30, Ohio has picked the president 28 times out of the last 30 elections. So that's why people look to Ohio, because for whatever reason, Ohio seems to represent, if you read this whole article, the pulse of the country or the thinking of the country. I don't know why that is, but that's what they say, that there's no other state that comes closer in terms of its history. If you win in Ohio, you're probably going to win the White House. And so when Trump won in Ohio and they made that announcement, I was watching it, and you could see the pundits on the news. They knew that was very, very significant. And they said, no Republican has ever won the White House without winning Ohio. So he brought in Ohio. And there's even an article here on The Guardian, the UK's Guardian, that says, quote, white, working class, and angry. Ohio's left behind helped Trump to stunning win. So they attributed it to the citizens of Ohio, and they refer to them as the white working class and angry. White, angry, working class citizens. The Guardian has another article, quote, a dark day for the world, the Guardian view on President-elect Donald Trump. Now, of course, The Guardian is a globalist left-wing publication. They represent the globalist agenda. And I have fought for months now, and I did a show on this, though some of you will at least remember. I did a show on this, and I asked the question, could Donald Trump be the Psalm chapter 2 candidate? Could he be the fulfillment, a partial fulfillment of what we find in Psalm chapter 2 in some way or another? And I want to read parts of Psalm chapter 2 where it says in verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The word anointed means Christ, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Right? Meaning, you've got the kings of the earth and the rulers, they're all conspiring together. That's what it means, take counsel together. They're conspiring together against the Lord and against his Christ, against Christianity, against the gospel. That's what we're watching throughout the Western world, brethren. The leadership of the Western world has been conspiring to undermine Christianity. And they've done it through socialism and Marxism and so on, and trying to flood the countries of the Western world with Muslims and empowering them and empowering the advancement of Sharia and this kind of thing to undermine Christian civilization and really undermine Christianity and the gospel. And this has been, we've been documenting this for years, what's happening. But exactly how it's all going to end up in terms of prophecy, that's what we have debated over. And there are some who believe, well, the whole world's going to be taken over by the anti-Christian powers. Others say our forefathers who were historicists, they didn't see it that way. They saw it quite differently. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Psalm chapter 2 and this election right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today we're talking about the fact that Donald Trump is the new president of the United States, and we believe he will be able to, that his presidency now, and, you know, I want to mention this. I can't say enough about the fact that Trump chose Mike Pence, Governor Mike Pence, to be his running mate and who is now the next vice president of the United States. And Pence, from everything that I have read about him, heard anybody say about him, Pence, while I'm sure he's got his flaws, we all do, but Pence is a God-fearing, Bible-believing, evangelical Christian. He is a Christian man, and he's always struck me as a very humble man, a very sincere man, and yet a strong leader. I really like Governor Pence a lot. He seems like a good, godly man. And the fact that Trump chose him and he did not choose Chris Christie, he could have gone with Christie, who has liberal leanings, Christie, who's a Catholic and who has these liberal leanings. Trump, who's a Presbyterian by his profession, chose Pence, who's an evangelical. And this actually works very, very well for the Christian community. Okay, to have Mike Pence be the vice president of the United States, because, of course, you have to take into consideration, what if something happens to the president? Well, the vice president steps into that role. And Mike Pence would be a great leader. But of course, we want to see Trump be successful and to accomplish the many things for America that he has talked about doing in terms of really taking a wrecking ball to this socialist invasion of our country, because that's what's happened. That's what all of this, these trade agreements and all this other kind of stuff, it is a massive redistribution of wealth program where they're redistributing the wealth of America to all of these other countries, all part of the globalist scheme. That's what they're doing. And that's why our jobs are going overseas and so on, because they're giving them to all these foreign countries. Okay? They're giving them away to other people. But they're doing it in a very covert, systematic manner to bring down America one step at a time, to lower America, because in the globalist community, you go online, you do the research, these globalists, they have the view that America should not be any different than any other country, that America should be equal to all the other countries. Now, what do they have to do to accomplish that? They have to lower America, because they know America is the greatest country in the world. And so they say, well, how can we bring down America? We got to bring it down and lower it so it's just like all these other countries in the world. And it doesn't have any more power or any more influence than anyone else. That's their view. But of course, these other countries haven't accomplished all the things that America's accomplished. They don't contribute as much money in terms of financial aid, etc. They're not providing as much for the international community as America does. And so to a certain extent, you say, well, what do they do? What do they have to do to make America equal? Well, they have to find ways to plunder America, to diminish America's strength, to bring America down. That's what they're trying to do. You've got that book written years ago by James Wardner, The Planned Destruction of America. People have been talking about this for years, that what's happening to undermine our system is being done very deliberately. And the reason that many researchers and so on support Trump is because he seems to be the one person who might really change all of this. Who might really, if he's sincere, if he actually does what he said he was going to do, he will dramatically change the course of globalism in America and really throughout the world. He will alter it dramatically. And that brings us back to Psalm chapter 2. And the idea of Donald Trump as the Psalm chapter 2 candidate. Now we read the first part of this where it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, we're going to get rid of the Christian standard. We're going to get rid of the commandments of God. And that's what they've been doing. We're going to get rid of these capitalist ideas. The idea that you work hard and you prosper and you enjoy the fruit of your own labor. They want to get rid of that. They want to bring in socialism that's not based on that principle. They want to bring in Sharia. They want to bring in things like gay marriage. They want to change the morality of the world and what the moral boundaries and standards are. So they say, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. And verse 4, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Is that what's been happening with Donald Trump? Because people have talked about just the amusing, just really the comedic nature of Trump's whole campaign, that he has just, he's smashed all these ideas about political correctness. He's just turned them upside down. He's opposed them utterly. He's refused to allow the media to intimidate him or to get him to apologize every time he says something that somebody doesn't like. He's resisted that continually. And so it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Is this the direction that things are going to go? Will Trump begin, you know, after he's sworn in as president, is he going to then hire that special prosecutor to investigate Hillary and possibly other things that went on with the Obama administration? Is there going to be a level of accountability that we haven't seen up to now? Is that going to be what happens? Now, the one thing that gives me pause in all of that, because Trump did talk about having a special prosecutor, but in his acceptance speech, after it was clear that he won, he said that Americans should be thankful for Hillary's service to the country. He said that. Now, I found that to be an inconsistency, I have to admit. Found that to be an inconsistency when he's been calling her Crooked Hillary and, you know, saying she's been there for 30 years, she's done nothing, etc. Now, he's obviously being gracious, but for him to now turn and say, well, now we need to be thankful for all that she's done, to me, that was the one thing that caused me to raise an eyebrow and to say, okay, what is that going to mean going forward? And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It may be that he simply wanted to be gracious as he could be, in his acceptance speech. That could be the case, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. But you look at some of these articles they've got online. The Guardian has one where they show a Muslim woman in Michigan, and it says, quote, I pray for our community
Michigan Muslims face reality of Trump victory. Okay, so now the Michigan Muslims have to be concerned. Another article in The Guardian says, quote, how do I tell my daughter that America elected a racist, sexist bully? That's the article. How do I tell my daughter? Well, I don't know. How would you have told your daughter if America had elected a woman who is said to have been a practicing witch and she's going to be sitting in the White House? What would you have? I wonder if The Guardian would have had an article. How do I tell my daughter that America elected a witch to sit in the White House? With her husband, who's been repeatedly accused of rape, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, would they have been writing articles like that at The Guardian? You have to wonder. All right, we are running out of time. That is going to wrap it up there. But here's what I want to say. I honestly believe, because the objective for many Christians in this country, brethren, the objective for the Christian community was really to keep Hillary out of the White House, who would have been a nightmare for our country, and I think really a nightmare for the Christian community. And right now, it seems to me that God has answered those prayers. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful because I think it is going to mean greater stability for America overall. You know, God said to the children of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 29, He said to the children of Israel, he said, quote, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now, God said this to the children of Israel in terms of places where they were being carried away captive. He says, pray for the peace of these cities, because if they have peace, you're going to have peace. And to me, that's one of the important components here. If America, if we have a peaceful environment because our Constitution is maintained and we don't have a political movement that's constantly trying to stir up conflict, which is what the Democrats do, we're much more likely to have a peaceable environment in which to live. And if the Jewish people were compelled to pray for the peace of cities where they were carried away captive, how much more should we, as Christians in America, pray for a country that really, throughout most of our lives, has been the land of the free and the home of the brave, not a place where we're carried away captive, but the place where we were raised with constitutional freedom by the grace of God. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.